I think if everybody brought a battery, somebody would bring one.
Think it through.
Oh, I'm going to leave it up. That clock is right twice a day. Okay. I will tell you that I'm about to partake in an action which reminds me of a very, very good joke. And that is that a little Catholic boy and a little Baptist boy became friends in school and decided after a while that each one would go and visit at the church of the other. And they went first to the Catholic church. And as each thing happened, the little Baptist boy would whisper, "What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean?" The little Catholic boy struggled to try to explain all the things that were going on. Next week comes, they go to the Baptist church. And the Baptist boy is a little disappointed because they've gone through half the service and the Catholic boy hadn't asked a single question. And then the pastor steps up to the podium, takes off his watch, sets it down. A little Catholic boy leans over and says, "What's that mean?" The little Baptist boy says, "It doesn't mean a thing." I just tell them, I don't make them up. Some of you have gone to the worship service already this morning. Some of you will go at 11. And I don't know what it was about today, but the music we sang hit some pretty special things. It was mostly in the words. "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect, spotless righteousness. My perfect, spotless righteousness. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with him, one with himself, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. Don't think the gospel news can be told any better than it's told in those three verses. And then we sang another song. And this is the one I want to encourage you to listen for. I don't think the choir has figured out what they're singing. I really don't. I don't think they have figured out what they were saying. If you listen carefully, it's Mary asking God some questions. And she says, "But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong." And then it's as if she starts thinking through what she just asked for. "Help me be strong." And she says, "Help me be." And then she says, "Help me." That narrowing of the plea. That narrowing of the plan to just help me, leaving it in God's hands, how that help is to come and what form it's to take. Tells another story that I don't think we linger on often enough and long enough. If you haven't been, listen when you get there. So here we are in the middle of Isaiah. Well, a little past the middle. We know where the middle is, right?
Yeah.
We're in chapter 50 today. What was your homework assignment? If you were not here, you're off the hook. But if you were here, what was your homework assignment? In the section of Isaiah that begins at chapter 40, we find a different flavor, a different feeling. And along about chapter 42, if you have a study Bible, and if your study Bible is like mine, giving you little headings, you may find a heading that says, the first of the servant songs, or some words to that effect. Chapter 49, you see that it says, the second of the servant songs. Starting in verse 4 of chapter 50, it says, the third of the servant songs. The tail end of chapter 52, verse 13, it says, the fourth song of the servant. And what we've been looking at for a couple of weeks now, I'd come in intending that we'd cover all four of these in the 1 week. We covered one, so I came back the next week intending that we would cover the other three. We covered one. My suspicion is, since we've already run out of time, that we might get through one more today. I will tell you, if you take a look at chapter 61, you may find yourself wondering, why isn't this one labeled the fifth servant song? And I got to tell you, I don't have an answer. Because it sure sounds like as good or as insightful and certainly as focused as the other four.
Some commentators call it the fifth
one. I would think they would. And so as you're looking at these four servant songs, let me invite you, jump over to chapter 61 and take a look at that one too, because I think that fits in with what we're doing. And what that's telling you is, for almost 20 chapters, chapter 42, at least through chapter 61, the underlying theme that sits under all this and comes out at these great places, it's sort of like islands in an ocean, something's going on and there's places where the islands come up. The theme is Jesus, God's servant. Who speaks in servant song number one? You don't have time to look it up. You either remember this from other weeks or you're going to be silent and let somebody else answer. Who speaks in servant song number one? God. Who speaks in servant song number four? God. Who speaks in servant songs number two and three?
Servant.
Who speaks in servant song chapter 61? Turns out the servant and God both speak. And I've got the ability to color code. So I've gone through and color coded when God is speaking and when the servant is speaking, because it goes back and forth in that. It doesn't help you. It doesn't tell you that. But if you start reading, you'll see from the context, or at least I believe so. Okay? What exactly was your assignment for this week? To look at the third and fourth servant song and to think about finding an outline of sorts, or to say this another way, the major points that were being given here. Now, I should take the time right now to review the major points that we had in the first and second service song. I should do that. Why am I not going to do that? Because if I did that, we'd be at 10:30. We'd have to quit. There's not enough time both to review and go forward. So the little recorder is working. So you've got a chance, if you're missing some of this, to go back and look. So here we are. What's the first thing that you read? Remember, it starts chapter 50. This is the third of the servant songs, or the songs of the servant. Chapter 50, verse 4. Who's speaking? The servant is speaking, and we believe, especially after you get to chapter 52 and going into chapter 53, where you see a picture of crucifixion, we're pretty sure that this is talking about Jesus. So what's the first thing it says? Verse 4.
The Lord God gave me an educated tongue.
The Lord God gave me an educated tongue. Interesting. He has an he's given me an instructed tongue. Okay? Can anybody tell the word I'm looking for? The word that got translated educated was the word that got translated instructed. Right?
That's his tongue.
I went to a play at the university this week. It's a moving play. The title is Intimate Apparel. It's going to be given again today. If you go, you will not walk away unaffected. Don't know. So, it may be a matinee. Maybe we can look it up afterwards.
Yes.
I went to another play about a month ago that did not hit me with such force. In fact, it hit me mostly with ennui, but you may not remember your French enough to remember what ennui is. I did walk away with one memory, and that was they had 150 vignettes, just about this long. You know, two people, three people would come out, they'd interact for 30 seconds or for a minute, and they'd walk away. Two more people would walk out, and they'd interact for a minute. It just kept going back and forth, lickety-split, 150 of these things, most of which were just, what? But there was one moment where a woman wealthy enough to be eating in a fancy restaurant stops the waitress and says, "You speak other languages, don't you?" And the waitress says, "Yes." "What do you call this in the languages you speak?" And she's patting the place where her food is sitting on plates and her glasses are holding her beverages. And the young woman begins to say, "Well, in French it's this, and in Swahili it's this, and in whatever it's this, and whatever it's this." And the woman says, "Isn't it fascinating that all those words mean table?" I'm wondering if you can realize what's wrong with that statement. What is blindingly, awfully wrong with that statement? They've just taken one word, the English word, and set it as champion and supreme over all others. Okay? Once that moment had come, I noticed nothing else in the play, and I went home thinking about the attitude that would lift that up and set that. We are in that moment right now. Each of these words gives us a chance to find what one group of translators thought was the best way to convey the meaning of a word that's in a language that I don't know, which I believe to be Hebrew. So let's start again. The Lord has given me an educated tongue. The Lord has given me an instructed tongue.
Words of wisdom.
He has given me words of wisdom. That's different. That's different. I invite you, stick with these two for the structure, because I think that's right. How would that have to be rewritten in order to express in the context of educated tongue? In both cases, he has given me a tongue with this quality. In your case, he's handed me some words. That's not the same as...
But you need to finish that. Read the rest of it.
Okay. She says you need to finish that and read the rest of it. She says there's more than
one.
So that
I know how to comfort the weary.
So that I know how to...
How to
use words. Okay. And that gets it back into this. Okay. Yours is not the same as his, but it's close. He's given me words of wisdom so that I know
what to say,
to the weary.
Two different translations. I've got, the Lord has given me a tongue of those who are taught that I may know how to sustain the word. And then has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary of one.
Anybody else want in on this game?
Mine says, awaken my ear.
Really?
It says, yes.
Because that's the most interesting thing. In almost every translation, the thing you expect to be there isn't there. What is expected of a disciple?
To awaken.
To learn. What is expected of a disciple? That they will listen to the master and learn. Right? What's the attitude that's expressed in this verse, in the words that are here? If the word disciple is there, and I think it is, okay, then it's giving you the ability to begin to be a person of testimony towards someone else. Are you going to read it in the original language,
no,
or are you going to translate it as you go along?
I'll put it into what you understand.
It's a tape.
I did read a little blurb, like the little blurbs are, the little cross-stitch things that said, don't ever make fun of somebody who speaks in halting and stumbling English. They almost certainly know a language you don't know. I thought that's...
He awakens my ears so that I may listen as the disciples listen.
So yours brought in ear and listening again, which I believe to be different from the tongue.
But the whole verse, it's four sentences. The last one says, he awakens my ear to listen as a disciple.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you reading the second half of that verse? Would you read the first half?
The Lord has given me a tongue that is educator, however you want it, that I will know how to uphold or to support those who are beaten down.
Okay, now let's put it together. There's two things being said. One thing, and I think it's the first thing, is speaking to the tongue. And I think the best translation that I've seen is the one that says, he has given me a disciple's tongue. In the second half, he says, if you want to sort of put it in parallel, he has given me a disciple's ear. Mm-hmm. But for interesting, whatever the purpose is, the inspiration that God gave him as Isaiah wrote this, he has talked about the tongue first and the ear later, and that's almost always reversed in everything else I've seen. So there's something funny here. I'm not sure I'm teasing all of it out, but we're teasing part of it out, Jim.
My commentary on this verse, speaker is a student of God, trained to provide encouragement to those who are weary, and weary is emphasized. Each morning, God awakens him with new insight.
Yeah, that's getting there. Here's this translation. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. Read yours one more time.
The speaker is a student of God, trained to provide encouragement to those who are weary. Each morning, God awakens him with new insight.
My mind says something like that, too.
The sovereign Lord has given me the capacity to be his spokesman so that I know how to help the weary.
There you go.
He wakes me up every morning. He makes me alert so I can listen attentively as disciples do.
That's good enough. Read it one more time.
Sovereign Lord has given me the capacity to be his spokesman so that I know how to help the weary. He wakes me up every morning. He makes me alert so I can listen attentively as disciples do.
If you've been here the last 2 weeks, what is the theme I've been trying to drive home? This is when I find out whether I've been effective or ineffective. Ineffective is my bet because that's been the bet that I win most often. What's the theme that I have been suggesting to you? It's an audacious, audacious reading of this, and I recognize it as such. Yeah, that's what I usually get. Is anybody brave enough? This is telling about the servant who is Jesus, Messiah. Is it telling us about anything else? I have been suggesting an audacious way of reading this. If we are supposed to be like Jesus, then maybe, eventually, this ought to be true of us.
That's what I was thinking.
If this is only speaking of the servant who we identify as Jesus, then I'm off the hook.
No.
But if this is talking about Jesus, whom I'm supposed to be like, whom I'm supposed to emulate, and who God equips me so that I do that successfully, then all of a sudden not only am I not off the hook, I'm on the hook, and there's several hooks.
Front line.
Thank you. Suddenly, I'm on the front line. The Lord has given me the ability to to function as his spokesperson. So how are the Christians out there that you're listening to on the media doing as spokesmen for the Lord? A few are doing pretty well. I'd put Robbie Zacharias in that group. A few are doing well. Many, many more might not be doing so well. And then the question, how do I measure up? Yes, ma'am.
Interestingly enough, in my note on verse 4, in my study Bible, the last sentence is about verse 4. Unlike Israel, see verse 2, the servant was responsive to God.
Why was there no one there when I came? Why did no one answer when I called? Is my hand too short to redeem? Have I no strength to save, says God to his people. Okay. Are you picking up that it might be a useful thing to have in your possession a functioning study Bible?
Yes.
As Christmas comes, you might either hint about a gift if you don't have one. My suggestion is that if you get a study Bible, get one that's based on New Living. I think that's the one that seems to be walking a tightrope between word for word and thought for thought translation. But any study Bible will have helps of the sort that you've seen here. He's given me the ability to be his spokesperson. I think that's it. So that I can, I think yours uses the word encouragement, which my translations don't use. Willie?
What jumps out at me in this statement is the old thought that we used to have 2 years in the tongue. You listen twice as much as what you said.
I generally fail at that, but yes, I have heard that.
I do too.
You didn't have to laugh that hard, Mike.
He wasn't laughing at you.
Oh, yes, he was.
Corinthians says we're in Christ's ambassadors.
That's the same thing. And even our motto is serve like Jesus, so that's serving Rome.
The Lord has given me a disciple's tongue for me to know how to give a word of comfort to the weary. Morning by morning, he makes my ear alert to listen like a disciple. And he has opened my ear, and I have not resisted. I have not turned away. And then all of a sudden, in verse 6, it turns in a totally unexpected direction. Tail end of verse 5, he's opened my ear, and I have not resisted. I have not turned away. What else has he not turned away from?
From the abuses
that came just before the crucifixion. This is the first glimpse you get in the four servant songs of the details of the crucifixion. I offered my back to those who struck me. What does that mean? That's the lash. There's scenes where they tie you up and they beat you across the back. I have not turned my face away from insult and spitting. Verse 7, the Lord comes to my help. That is why insult has not touched me. That is why I have set my face like flint. And know that I will not be put to shame. He who grants me saving justice is near. Who will bring a case against me? Let's appear in court together. Who has a case against me? Let him approach me. For the Lord God is coming to my help. Who dares condemn me? That has echoes all over the New Testament. That has echoes all over the New Testament. What does yours say where mine says, I have set my face like flint? This translation says, I've set my face like stone. What does yours say?
And but it also says, and you, I wouldn't be ashamed. I think I so much thought of it too.
I have set my face like flint. When you think of stone and you think of flint, do you get a different view? Do those words bring up something different, or do they bring up the same thing?
Well, it has some, to me, it has some kind of connotation of fire or spark, something alive versus just a dead stone.
It certainly has the ability to start a fire. The flint would be part of that. Mm-hmm. But it's the very hardness of flint that can bring sparks out of things. It's very interesting to me that different translations have chosen different words there.
Now, this one has flint used, but it says it's determination in the face of opposition.
Absolutely. What would you think of a town in Texas that chose as its name Flint? You know where Flint is. I don't know. But that's where my in-laws grew up. Tells you something, doesn't it? Yeah, it's the little town south of Tyler. It's the closer place. All my enemies, who will declare me guilty? All my enemies will be destroyed like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. That's verse 9. I believe that the Song of the Servant ends there. I believe you are foolish if you don't read two more verses. And it's really interesting. You could do probably 30 minutes or an hour easily on these two verses. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? This is really early for that thought to be given. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If that question were asked of you, would you raise your hand? I do. If so, look what follows. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? Question mark. If you who fear the Lord and obey his servant, are walking in darkness without a ray of light, what should you do? Trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Period. End of thought. Period. End of thought. Verse 11. New thought. But watch out, you who live in your own light and who warm yourselves by your own fires. There is a reward you will receive from me, says the Sovereign Lord. You will soon fall down in great torment. If you are in darkness, what do? Trust the Lord. Rely on Him and wait for the darkness to lift. That is not our tendency. That is not my tendency. So what happens? You light your own fire. And you begin to walk by the light of your own fire. And where do you end up going? The little boy said, my daddy always told me not to go to the saloon. If I went to the saloon, I'd see things I shouldn't see. One day I went to the saloon and I saw something I shouldn't have seen. I saw my daddy. The choice is given in 10 and 11, and I believe it's separate from the servant songs. Whose light do you choose to walk in? And if the answer is God's light, and God chooses for a time or a season to provide no light, what do you do? It is tough to either stand or walk in darkness, waiting on God to bring some light back into the situation. I don't believe I do it well. I don't believe I have done it well. I don't believe I will do it well. But that's what we're called to do. And what we are specifically warned about. Does yours say watch out in verse 11? Mine does. Yours says behold, that's not good enough. Watch out. You who live in your own light and warm yourselves by your own fires. Torment is your future. And fall is your future. That's a hard place to end. What's your assignment for next time? outline the fourth servant song. The fourth servant song is much longer than any of the others. Who is speaking?
God
is speaking, and soon Isaiah himself begins to speak. And don't forget to take a look at chapter 61. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. I'm sorry.
No, I just, you know, you were talking about trusting God. When my wife died, one or two verses I really struggled with. One was weeping in the night and joy in the morning. And I had no trouble with the weeping in the night part.
You had that
there. Joy in the morning. I wondered when that would ever come. And it took a while.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sound haughty, but I believe I did trust in God through that whole time. Even all the days that I really wanted.
Can I risk being blasphemous for a minute? When it says joy comes, when it says joy comes in the morning, it doesn't say joy comes the next morning.
No, that's true. That's true.
It says that joy comes in the morning, but it does not say joy comes in the next morning.
No, and I misread Romans 8:28. That things I thought they were coming better than they had been in the past. It doesn't say that either.
Doesn't say in this world.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we are learning that when we pray, help us be strong. Maybe we need to back off and just say, help us be. And maybe even that's too far. Maybe we just need to say, help us. And let you figure out how that help needs to come. Trusting you in those moments where help us is all we can say is the hardest thing we probably have to do. Help us prepare for those times by studies such as we've had today. Bless us through the week that comes. Bring us back together if your will is such. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.